The Holy Gospel according to Luke in the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. My friends, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So there is a truth that we need to be reminded of continuously. And reminded not by our own internal voice, but something that's outside of us. Because our own voice is often not strong enough. We need to be reminded every day and every week that we are loved and precious in God's sight. We originate in God's love. We spend our entire lives surrounded by God's love, and one day we will return to God's love. So that's where we begin this Advent season. We begin with love. Our readings today reflect this. In Luke's gospel, all those centuries ago, an angel comes to a young woman named Mary. She is not anybody in particular. She fits into a crowd. She does not come from an upper or elite class of society. And in the ancient world, she has no power or influence. She has no voice. And Luke does not mention any sort of qualification to bear the Son of God to the world. Except for one thing. And that is that God sees favor in her. That is her qualification. And the root of the original Greek word for favor here is actually grace. It's charis. It's grace. Thus, favored one is not one who has earned God's favor. Rather, it is one who is shown God's grace. And other ancient manuscripts, and if those of you that have been in Bible study will know, there's a little subscript in the text, and that has you look below at the bottom of the page, and it will say something like it does today. Other ancient manuscripts will say and include the phrase that Mary is blessed among women, or is a blessing among women. Mary's qualification is simply that she is one for whom God gives grace and makes a blessing. And then there is our reading from Isaiah. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. The God of all time and space speaks to God's beloved people Israel, saying this, "I created you and formed you. "Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are precious in my sight, honored, and I love you." Israel's story, Mary's story, your story begins with love, grace, and blessing. God calls you by name. You belong to God, and God loves you. Could there be any more important message for you to hear every day? Is there any other good news to be the foundation of your entire life than this good news, that God calls you precious, loved, and redeemed? I don't think that there is. God takes absolute delight in God's own creation. Scripture says that you and I were knit together in our mother's womb. We were formed and shaped by God like a potter shapes and forms clay. And then we were given the breath of life for God's own goodness and glory. And all of that means that your worth and value is completely based on God's love for you, your own belovedness. So the problem is that so often we forget this. There are so many voices in the world that are pining for our attention every day. There are voices which cause us to really doubt this fundamental truth, that cause harm and trauma, that distort our sense of identity, voices that tend to distort God's voice, even drowning it out sometimes. Our capitalistic society, with its hustle culture and scarcity mindset, really warps God's truth by reinforcing the myth that some lives are worth more than others, by reinforcing the myth that our worth and value are completely dependent on what we do, on what we own, and what we achieve. And it's so ingrained in us that often we don't even realize how much this affects how we see ourselves and how we see others. This sort of thinking creates competition instead of mutual upbuilding. It creates fear of neighbor instead of love for neighbor. Our neighbors can easily become threats to our livelihood and our comfort and our security when we think that there is only so much to go around. This is why there are things like sexism and racism and phobias of our LGBTQ siblings and phobia right now of our immigrant neighbors. When we stop believing that we are precious and loved in God's sight, when that goes out the window, then we also stop seeing God's love and mercy and preciousness in others. So I believe that to love God and to love others as Christ demands, we must learn to love ourselves. We must learn to see our sin and our flaws and our brokenness as opportunities for God's grace to heal and transform us. We must remember every day to begin with God's love anew for us so that we can also love others. Emmanuel, Christ Jesus, enters into our world to show us the way. He calls us to follow by God's grace and invitation. He shows us the length and the breadth of God's love, dying on a cross, that we might live liberated from the power of sin and death and live abundantly. Why? Because God loves you. God loves your neighbor. God loves the world. The visuals in this Advent season are inspired by quilting. You see that at the very beginning of your bulletin, the quilt square for today. Our high schoolers during Holy Grounds are going to be painting our quilt squares this season, and we'll add a new one each week. Quilts are lovingly made, and they wrap us in warmth when we're maybe fearful or cold or despairing. Sometimes quilt squares, they hold a story or they hold a memory for us to remember. And quilts are also a reminder that what we see as discarded scraps of fabric, God weaves together to make something beautiful. These quilt squares that we will see during this season will remind us of how God and Christ Jesus weaves together grace and love in our lives, and reminds us of how we are called to weave love and grace with others so that something beautiful is made. So I pray, my friends, I pray that you will wrap yourselves with the good news that you are precious, loved, and redeemed. Remind yourself of this daily. Immerse yourself in this good news daily. And then don't keep it to yourself. Remind others that they are precious, loved, and redeemed. Because our world, our weary world, is longing for good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.